And turn back, if you've got your Bibles still there, the church Bibles. We're on page 201. And we're getting towards the latter part of the book of Galatians, the book that we've been following through since the beginning of September. Parentage has been in the news this week. There was a Greek-Roma couple who found themselves descended on with a blonde daughter who they claimed had been given to them by her Bulgarian parents. And the European press, fueled by the Madeleine McCann disappearance story, hunted for the real parents. Who was the mother? Who was the father? Well, the mother turned out to be a poor Bulgarian person with several other children and a conscience about giving her daughter away. In the book of Galatians, in our section today, it is time to check your parentage. It's a sort of picture which Paul is using to make his point, which really is the same point that he's been making in most sections of this letter. A point that we need to hear again and again because we're so slow to get it. So in chapter 3, Paul had made a point about God's people being children of Abraham, meaning children of the promise. The promise made to Abraham. But now here in chapter 4, verse 21, we hear it is not enough to claim Abraham as our father. The crucial question is this: who is our mother? In Galatians terms, there are two possibilities: Hagar or Sarah. Who is your mother? You probably remember the Bible's account of the refugee family who are being referred to in this picture. An Iraqi descended couple hearing God's call to head from Syrian Turkey to Palestine long before the names of those countries ever existed. Abraham and Sarah were married, and God had promised them a son and many descendants through him. But the years passed, and however hard they tried, no baby. So they took things into their own hands. It was Sarah's plan. Darling, come and have it away with our slave girl, and she can have a child for us. It was a sort of surrogate baby plan. And it caused problems. It caused contempt from Hagar, the slave girl, towards Sarah, and jealous harshness from Sarah towards Hagar. And when Ishmael was born, it all came to a head, and Hagar ran away, and Abraham had to go and bring Hagar and Ishmael back. And then, several years on, according to God's promise, Sarah did have a baby, Isaac, whose arrival brought more tension, this time over inheritance. Who would inherit? Which son? Ishmael, the older son of Hagar, the slave girl, the Egyptian? No. Usually it was the older son, but no. God said Isaac will inherit, the younger son of Sarah, as promised, which again caused distress for Abraham as well, who didn't want to lose either of them, but was placed in the position of choosing. And that's the position which Paul wants us to be in this part of Galatians. We have to make a choice. Who is your mother? Now, this is obviously not a blood relative question, like the one the newspapers were following earlier in the week. Yes, Sarah might be an ancestor for you if you have some Jewish blood, and Hagar might be an ancestor for you if you have some Arab blood. But that's not the point of this question at all. Who is your mother? Because can you see in verse 24? Now, this is an allegory. These two women are two covenants. So this picture is being used to stand for something. And we're not saying in some simplistic way that one of these women was a goodie and the other was a baddie. Even in our short account, recounted from Genesis, we can see that they both showed a mixture of good and bad in their character and behavior. The choice is not between their characters, it's what they stand for that helps us make a choice. The two covenants which they represent, as Paul has said it. Verse 24 and following. Now, this is an allegory. These women are two covenants. One woman, in fact, is Hagar from Mount Sinai, the place where the law was given in the Old Testament, bearing children for slavery. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the other woman corresponds to the Jerusalem above. She is free, and she is our mother. If you know the Old Testament reasonably well, you can see the way in which Paul is playing this. Hagar represents the old covenant given on Mount Sinai, which makes everyone slaves of the law, like those Old Testament people who didn't accept the new covenant. Whereas Sarah represents the new covenant, which is why she is free and is to do with the new Jerusalem, the new covenant people of God. And as far as Paul is concerned, he has made his decision. She is our mother, Sarah. Can you see in verse 26? But the other woman corresponds to the Jerusalem above. She is free, and she is our mother. And then after a quote from Isaiah 54 in verse 27, just pointing out the future, Paul makes the point again to his Christian readers, the people of God's new covenant, verse 28. Now you, my friends, are children of the promise, like Isaac. Are you like Ishmael, the child of Hagar? Or are you like Isaac, the child of Sarah? This is how Paul had introduced things in verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. One, the child of the slave, was born according to the flesh. The other, the child of the free woman, was born through the promise. Paul said this because these people in the Galatian churches seemed to want to be like Ishmael in this picture, seemed to want to choose to be slaves of the law. Can you see in verse 21? Tell me, you who desire to be subject to the law, will you not listen to the law? Won't you listen to what the Bible says? And won't you avoid desiring to be subject to the law again? Because you can be children of the promise, not children of the law, slaves of the law. Let's just get our heads round this concept a little more. What's a slave of the law? Well, it's somebody who relies on the law of God for their standing with God. So such people think that by obeying the rules, that's what makes them right with God. Like the Pharisee and the tax collector. Do you remember the little parable that was told? And the Pharisee stands up and he says, "I thank you that I'm not like those bad ones over there, but I give a tenth of my thing every week," and this sort of thing. And he's got two or three rules that he keeps that he thinks that's what makes him right with God. And he looks down on everyone else. That's somebody who desires to be subject to the law, who's relying on the law of God for their standing with God. And there's lots of it around. And I guess one of the reasons it's here in Galatians is that there's lots of it around in the church, in the churches. So people think that by doing a handful of things that they like the look of in the law, that's what makes them right with God. So going to church, or doing to others as you wish to have done to you, or doing certain rituals properly, or by keeping certain commandments or certain emphases of God's word, that's what makes you okay with God. And people who don't do those things, oh dear. So some rely on the law of God like this. And can end up rather superior on the outside, rather insecure on the inside, because we cannot obey it all of the time. And that's why we end up having to limit it to certain things if this is the way we end up thinking and doing. So then there are another group of people, others who rely on the law of God, but don't try so hard to obey it. They just quietly hope that God has low standards and doesn't make much fuss. And there's a lot of those around as well. Oh, God won't mind too much if I don't bother too much about this or that. But Paul says all of this relying on the law stuff is going up the wrong creek anyway. And Paul points us to becoming people like Isaac instead, not law relying, because we know we can never be good enough, but glad that it's not to do with being good enough anyway. It's about the promise of God being believed by us. It's about the promise of God being kept by God and believed by us. So Isaac was a child of the free, born for freedom through the receiving of the promise from God. In verse 31, "So then, friends, we are children not of the slave, but of the free woman. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." It's sometimes more comforting going back to something that we used to rely on, even if it's a slavery. But that's what Paul's warning them not to do. "So who is your mother?" he's saying. "Hagar or Sarah? Do you rely on the law and keeping it a lot or a little? Or do you rely on the promise and receiving it and living it?" That doesn't mean you ignore the law. You seek to keep the law. You just don't rely on it. You rely on the promise and keep the law. Who is your mother? Now, Paul goes on to say another couple of things. Who is your mother affects how people treat you and whether you will inherit from God. Can you see in verse 28, 29. It affects how people treat you. "Now you, my friends, are children of the promise like Isaac, but just as at that time the child who was born according to the flesh persecuted the child who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. So here, Ishmael played it nasty at Isaac's birthday party. Older brother. In fact, says Paul, it's like that still. Ishmael persecuted Isaac then. Ishmael's persecute Isaac's now. Those who rely on the law to be right with God, whether they're sticklers for the law, like some zealots in all sorts of religions, or whether they reinvent the law to follow the trends of their own or society and just hold a certain number of perceived issues as sacrosanct, like many, many modernist campaigners, those who rely on the law to be right with God tend to pick on those who rely on the promise. Paul's fiercest opponents were the religious Jews of his time. The Protestant reformers' greatest, fiercest opponents were the Roman religious establishment. The fiercest opponents of Bible gospel people today are legal issue rule keepers and the establishment leaders they influence. Isaac's must expect persecution from Ishmael's. That's how it was and is and shall be. But at the same time, remember the other thing that Paul wants to tell us here. Isaac's inherit. Verse 30. But what does the scripture say? This is a quote from Genesis. Drive out the slave and her child, for the child of the slave will not share the inheritance with the child of the free woman. It's not a shared inheritance thing. Only Isaac's inherit. And God saw to it that only Isaac received the inheritance of the children of God. Persecution, yes, and inheritance, yes. So who is your mother? Paul wants you to know. So that you might stand firm, therefore, and not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now, Paul goes on, just in one more little bit, to point out what relying on the promise is about. You can't rely on the promise and the law. That's what we see in verses 2 to 6 of the next chapter. Even if you make just one part of the law obligatory, like circumcision, you might as well be a slave of all of it. You're lost, cut off from Jesus and his promises. Listen, verse 2. I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. That's what fallen from grace means. If you put any rule or law equal to believing the promise, you don't believe the promise. You've started relying on the law. And you're then obliged to obey the whole law, and you've had it. Such pride comes before a fall. Relying on the promise means only the promise. Don't rely on your baptism or confirmation or communion taking. Rely on the promise of God alone. Don't rely on your niceness or your campaign for this truth or that. If you rely on that sort of thing alongside the promise, you've stopped relying on the promise of God. Relying on the promise means only the promise. By grace alone. And you wait for the promise to be fulfilled. Verse 5, for through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Waiting and believing, by faith alone, because you believe the promise, working it through by loving your brothers and sisters and neighbors and enemies. That's relying on the promise. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith, working through love. By Christ alone, by grace alone, by faith alone. Add anything else, and it takes away everything. Isn't that what Paul is saying? Add anything, lose everything. Who is your mother? Rely on the promise, even though it may bring you persecution from those who rely on the law. Don't rely on the law. Just obey the law faithfully. Rely on the promise and don't add anything to the promise. Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. Who is your mother?